This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
1 o'clock hour. Hope you're having a good Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to a snitch line a little bit different 1 o'clock hour because we're going to have John Sherman live at 1:50 on the show as he speaks to members of the media at workout day. So we're actually going to do snitch line probably closer to 1:15-ish or so. Just a heads up on that. I see some of you are already texting in. For those that are new to the show, new to the station, snitch line, it's something we started all the way back during COVID when the NBA decided to essentially create a snitch line for people. So we decided to do our own and have some fun with this. You can text in something maybe you've done in the past, something you've seen at your office, a coworker's done, something you just need to get off your chest completely without anybody knowing who you are. Completely anonymous. 913-586-7965. But before we get to that, the Sweet 16 does start tomorrow, and we won't really talk Coops tomorrow. It's opening day in Kansas City. So we wanted to talk about a little bit here. Everybody has their brackets. Maybe they're busted. Some of you in our Coding Gold Bracket Challenge are doing very well. Congrats if that's the case. But if you were to go through and reseed the Sweet 16, so we were to take Arkansas, who's a 10. Maybe you think they should just be a 4. Maybe you think they should be a 3 seed. For me, there's really only one or two changes. I would have the same number one seeds intact. Now, you said, hey, maybe you would make Duke the number one overall seed, right?
Yeah.
That's fair. They weren't, but they're a
honest
one seed.
Honest to God, if you'd made me seeded before, I might have done that too. Like, Auburn fair. Was the deserving number one overall seed. I just thought Duke was the best team.
So we would, I'll keep, and I'm sure you guys would too, keep the same number one. No, none of the ones have done anything to suggest they shouldn't be a one, okay? So
no, Houston's played great. Auburn's played well. Duke's played great.
The one switch, I would bump Texas Tech from the 3, which they are now, and will be, to a 2 line if I could. And you're like, well, then who do you take out? I would actually move Michigan State down to a 3. And look, maybe it was just matchup based, but they had closer call against New Mexico. I've been far more impressed with Texas Tech and what they did specifically against Drake, actually, in their last game. And they still haven't had one of their players play in the tournament yet. And there's a chance McCollum, talking about, I think it's Chase McCollum for Texas Tech, he hasn't played. Maybe he'll play tomorrow. So I would move Texas Tech from a 3 to a 2. That'd be my really only seed adjustment. Other than that, I think like Arizona's properly seeded. I think Kentucky has shown they're fairly properly seeded.
I would make an argument for Kentucky as a 2 and to get, and look, if I'm just
Kentucky's a 4, right? Or a 3. Sorry.
Three. And then getting Alabama, maybe not as much them, but maybe them off of that line overall.
Would you move BYU up?
I would move BYU ahead of Purdue. I would move BYU ahead of... God, is there anybody besides Purdue I'd move them ahead of? Arizona. I've liked what they've done. Man, Arizona probably deserves to stay where they are. But I'd at least move them ahead of Purdue. Purdue has played no one. They've played the single lightest schedule. And look, they don't have that excuse anymore.
Yeah.
They have to face Houston on Friday, the team that's played as good as anybody in the NCAA tournament. So they're going to have to go up against it. Other than that, everyone feels like they are who they are. Maryland,
we're like re-ranking,
Michigan,
correct?
Those teams all
reseed the Sweet 16. Yeah. So if you think a team that's a four should be a two or whatever, go for it.
Okay. So the way that I might have misinterpreted, the way that I'm thinking it is just ranking teams 1 through 16 because
it's reseeding, right? If you're 15th, you're a four seed.
In a lot of ways, if you did that, you would, right? Sure, if you didn't think the 4-1 seeds would still be ranked one through four, I think, in all of our minds.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. It's the same thing, Drew.
From that perspective. Okay.
It's just it's the same thing. It's just if we were changing the seed, if they were a two seed, maybe they were the sixth best team in your ranking, but now they're the 10th best team, so they're obviously not a two seed anymore. Yeah, is the idea.
Okay, I got you. So I agree with you guys. The ones are there. I think the fours. I know I'm jumping the twos and threes, but I would say Ole Miss would be the 16 overall, I would say.
So you'd have them last of the...
I'd have Arkansas last, and then I'd have Ole Miss just ahead of them at what would essentially be the other four, and then I'd have Purdue there. And then I think it's tough. I think I'm on Michigan State a little bit more than you guys are, and that might be because I picked them in the Final Four. I just think defensively, they do a much better job of things than I think people give them credit for. Where offensively, they don't have the firepower necessarily of a Alabama, of course, or like a Kentucky, but defensively, they're better than both Alabama and Kentucky, and I don't know if it's close defensively. But Purdue was overseeded from the get-go. They lost to they didn't even make the semifinal of the Big Ten tournament, and Michigan won the whole thing. And Michigan, I know that this is all done before the final, but Michigan was a 5 and Purdue was a 4. Purdue, not that they're fraudulent or anything like that. It's just that they were overseeded while a team like BYU was underseeded.
So you're correcting from even when the bracket was announced.
The way
bit.
That I'm looking at it from reseeding is kind of from just the in general perspective, where I would have BYU, and they've shown, of course, based on how they played, BYU's probably a 2.
Mm-hmm.
At worst, they're no worse than maybe the first or second 3. I don't think, just because of the gauntlet that they went through to end the season, and they won every game except for those two against the Houston Cougars, in which they shot very poorly.
The only thing that's been very clear about this is that the top four teams are the top four teams.
Yes.
Totally. I mean, there's no moving unless you're just shuffling them around each other. There is no moving that Duke and Auburn and Houston, like those are the best teams in the tournament. Like, I'm not even going to be surprised if it ends up being 1-1-1-1 in the Final Four. Might not be.
Very well could be.
Usually there's an upset somewhere in there, but, like, that wouldn't stun me by any means. It's happened before in the NCAA term. Not often, but right once or twice. Because the first time was, like, 20 years ago. I remember it was, like, near high school. I remember that happened for the first time.
The first game of the Sweet 16 tomorrow night is the one that I'll be most interested in for a couple reasons. One, if you just like points, but that's BYU-Alabama. That's the 2-6 matchup.
That's probably the most interesting game.
It's the highest total of the entire Sweet 16 by a mile. Both teams are going to score. Alabama's defense is very suspect. BYU, if you're just wondering, it's a slight underdog, or more than a slight underdog, 5.5-point underdog. BYU, the winner of that game, will play most likely Duke, unless you think Arizona's pulling off the upset. The biggest favorites for this next round, Auburn is a 9.5-point favorite against Michigan, and then Duke is a 9.5-point favorite against Arizona. The tightest line is, probably not surprised, Ole Miss and Michigan State.
Who are Arizona's best wins this year? Because I've said continuously I've never been blown away by them, at the same time, it's like they've gotten to the Sweet 16 for a reason. They played in a good basketball conference. Did they beat Houston this year? Did they beat, like, I'm just trying to, like,
I think Tech is their best.
They obviously beat KU in the Big 12 tournament. I think
Texas Tech is one of their best. I believe they beat Tech to get to the...
They had 10 quad one victories. So, I mean,
that's not nothing.
Yeah, 10 quad one victories. I don't know the exact teams, but just from the...
They've beaten, of the tournament teams, they've beaten Iowa State, BYU, Texas Tech, at the very least.
They lost to Duke earlier in the year. They lost to Wisconsin earlier in the year. They lost to UCLA, a tournament team, earlier in the year. Lost to Oklahoma earlier in the year as a tournament team.
There was a tough start for Arizona.
Yeah, but I mean,
they beat Baylor, but Baylor's not that impressive.
They beat Tech twice.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Tech is the best that they've got.
Because they beat Tech in the Big 12 semis. Yeah.
So that's probably the answer. I mean, a lot of it is just kind of going to there. I'm not like in your case, you've got Tech in the Final Four. They certainly look like a team who could possibly do that. I mean, they do look every bit the part right now. And if you go through their tournament history, that's why you got to like them against Arkansas. is that if you look at their tournament history, they're a team that has, over the last 7-8 years, been a very, very, very
national runner-up.
Consistent team in the tournament, and they go deep into the tournament pretty regularly over the last 7 or 8 years, and they have maybe the most dominant inside game, seemingly, of all the teams remaining. The way they've been playing, they've been bullying people in the paint.
That makes the matchup against Florida so interesting, because Florida's got two dudes that are 7 feet tall, and they start them. And JT Toppin is as great as he is. He's like 6'9", I think. I don't think he's even 6'10", or he's certainly not 7 feet.
If we get that matchup, right? If we get Florida and Texas Tech, we'll see if Florida handles Maryland, obviously. But yes, the last two games, Texas Tech, because of size, has been like, they were able to bully Drake. They were just able to bully them inside. They had no answer for Toppin and what's the other kid named Williams, right? So those were the two. And
Toppin, I haven't seen
the injury update to see if they're going to have McCollum back for this game or not. But yeah, look, tomorrow's all about baseball for us, and I'm excited. But Friday night, I'll definitely watch some of the Sweet 16 games. I'll probably even watch some of them tomorrow night, too. But most of our focus tomorrow, of course, is going to be opening day.
On Friday, because his Tennessee Vols are playing Kentucky on Friday.
Okay. Yeah, Rick Barnes.
I saw you had LeBron James in studio today.
McAfee did.
They're playing the Pacers tonight? Or is LeBron still hurt?
They're playing the Pacers tonight. Pat does his show, of course, in Indianapolis. That's the way that it works out, so...
Lakers pretty good. Turns out trading for a superstar.
They had a conversation. So they've lost their last three games by double digits. Luka and LeBron have both been playing, and people are freaking out already.
Yeah, they're just trying to get their rhythm again.
It's part of the deal. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, they immediately took a jump the second Luka showed up. Also, the entire Dallas Mavericks team got hurt.
They had some really bad luck.
Anthony Davis just came back, I think, or something like that. But yeah. All right, coming up next, we'll get to a snitch line here on Cody and Gold. Also, still to come this hour, Daniel Harms from the Draft Network going to join us. We'll talk about how the Chiefs could approach round one. And don't forget, at 1:50 today, the owner of the Kansas City Royals, John Sherman, expected to speak to the media, not only about this year's team, but I am sure he will be asked about the stadium conversation. That's coming up. Reminder, coming up on Friday out at Hollywood Casino, it's our Royals Roundtable. Vern will be hosting that with Michael Massey. Kyle Isbell. There'll be a meet and greet afterwards, and everybody from 96.5 The Fan going to be hanging out at Hollywood Casino. That's Friday night, 6 o'clock. Must be 21 or older to enter. And Sweet 16 will be going on. We'll be talking, hopefully, after a Royals 1-0 start to the season. All of that Friday night. Hope to see many of you there as we get the season kicked off right. And, of course, tomorrow we'll be outside Gate D. Just, I guess, what would that be? Just to the west of Gate D, I guess, is where we're going to be. I think that's right. And you'll see us. You'll have our 96 to the left.
To the left. Just remember that song.
Yes, we'll be out there. Hope you say hello. We're expected to have some guests stopping by throughout the show. Excited to talk some opening day baseball.
Should have a packed baseball show tomorrow, so keep an eye out. We'll send out a list later.
Yeah, and a sellout crowd at the K tomorrow. Weather looks like it's going to be awesome, so we're fired up. Reminder, at 1:50 today, John Sherman, here in about 30 minutes, John Sherman expected to speak to members of the media about this team this year, and of course, I'm sure he'll be asked and address the ongoing stadium questions that loom. Is there a timeline? Have they narrowed any sites down? All that kind of stuff.
I'm fascinated if he gives any kind of... I'm curious what the newest timeline. Hoping summer... Because you remember, it was opening day, it was winter meetings, it was the beginning of the season. They're obviously having a hard time getting it structured exactly the way they want to get structured. And I want to point out one more thing that we've talked about, the same stuff. Every city's kind of dealing with this right now. The thirst to publicly fund stadiums has been not gone... Not like nobody's doing it. Obviously, Buffalo did it, but it's been more work than it used to be. Yeah. It used to be, you used to just say, we'd like a stadium, please, and they just gave you a blank check, and you went on to the bank, and everyone was fine. You got to earn it a little bit more than you used to in these deals.
In Cleveland. It's going on in Cleveland with the Brown situation. Again, I will still say the luxury we have, fortunately, I know everybody has their allegiance to which side of the state line, but the luxury we have is the state line, which is we are not talking about teams leaving the metro. Whatever. We're talking about, are they staying in Missouri or are they going to Kansas? That's what we're talking. We're not talking about outside of the region. Thank goodness. It would take quite a few more missteps for that to ever get to that point in time, at least this go around. Let's get to a little snitch line, though. We normally do this on a Thursday, but tomorrow's opening day, so let's do it today. If you have something that you've witnessed around the office, maybe
get it off your chest.
Family, maybe you did it. 913-586-7965. We get started with this text from the 702. Snitch line on myself, it says, was working personal security in Vegas. Client wanted to go to a strip club. as I'm sitting in a corner and entertainer sits on my lap. Got a little too close and activated my BlackBerry. At the time, that was the phone this gentleman said he was using. In his suit jacket pocket. Well, unbeknownst to him, his phone dialed the last phone number, which was his wife's work.
Oh.
Went to voicemail, recorded the whole conversation. He said, "I behaved." And we laugh about it today.
You know, good thing you behaved. Or you could be on marriage number two.
Mercedes is on his lap or whatever, talking about how nice he is, and he's probably just having a nice conversation.
Asking how college courses are going. Like, you know?
So what's your plan moving forward? Just having a nice conversation.
Was it Mercedes, you said? Mercedes.
Yeah, that's always the classic.
That's my go-to name to mention, usually, when we're talking strip clubs.
Going back to the kissing earlier, we're talking about the first kiss from the 913 snitch line. I got caught at preschool while in church.
Okay.
Kissing a girl for the first time.
Preschool.
5 years old, still friends with her to this day.
Preschool.
Do you think Desmond, do you think he's going to remain friends with this girl for the rest of their life?
The chances of that are very slim.
They seem pretty slim.
I was going to read this next one. Whoever texted in 15 separate texts, I'll be I can't read that. Like, that's, I can't even
begin to parse it out.
Yeah.
It's a lot of text. You sent this in like 19 parts.
It said, "I got caught stealing from Walmart in Win thing." Yeah, just, it's all out of order. Yeah, sorry, man. It's all out of order. We can't read that. Apologies.
They were caught. You ever been caught shoplifting gold?
No.
Have you ever shoplifted?
No.
I think as a kid, I'd maybe some small stuff, but I was never really, not much of a thief.
Not my thing, man. Not my thing.
I did one time and I felt so bad afterwards because my parents made me.
The guilt killed you?
Well,
my brother got caught by my grandparents once and they made him go back in and turn in like a pack of cards.
That's what happened.
Oh, you stole a pack of cards.
Yeah, it was like when you were kids, you know?
No,
they
I didn't
were right
do that.
There. Yep. You know?
Yeah, no, I could see it.
They were right there.
This one comes in from the 816. They said when Cody was off work a few weeks ago, when you weren't on the show, they saw you driving erratically, flipping off the elderly.
That doesn't sound like me. I'm the most cautious driver in the state.
Cody's got cruise control on it and when it's 30 miles an hour.
The reason why he was mad is because somebody was going 25 instead of 28. You know, they weren't going fast enough.
Mm-hmm. 913.
I will say
586-7965.
Personal driving opinion.
Okay.
Is that if I'm going 10 plus or more miles and over the speed limit, mm-hmm. and I am actively passing someone in that moment, get off my ass for the car, okay? I'm doing the job. I'm going to get over. Shut up about it already. Yeah, yeah. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. If I'm going 1 mile an hour over, you got a right. You got a right to be upset about this. But if I'm going 10, 12, 15 over, the other day somebody was like behind me and I was going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, mm-hmm. and they were behind me and I was in the middle lane. I'm like, get over.
Yeah, they need to
move over.
I got
nothing to do with this. This has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. The whole left lane is at your disposal, sir. I'm not going to just speed up so you can keep going.
This one, I'm not going to read the full company name, but
we usually try to avoid that.
Yes, their boss at Capital Blank is a narcissist, manipulator, micromanager, and he doesn't do a damn thing to help us out. He doesn't realize we know he stays at home most of the week. I have a feeling he's going to get caught soon. I'm not going to say your name, even though you gave it to us to help you make sure you don't lose your job, sir.
Jeez. But,
yes.
Well. From the 816, my roommate, once when we were in college, got drunk and peed on the floor. To make up for that, the next day I peed in his laundry.
Oh.
I mean, his clothes already smelled.
Oh, my God.
Is that
goodness.
Like clean laundry or are dirty laundry?
He's got to do laundry anyway.
Clean, but
he's on the floor. He doesn't
give
do
you
it
a,
anyway.
A free pass.
That's out of pocket.
That's messed up.
That's way out of pocket.
Oh, my goodness. Here's another one. So it says, going through an ugly divorce, unfortunately. Oof. They said their tax is the only thing left to get done. I have purposely waited until the last second as a huge inconvenience.
You're going down swinging, huh, sir?
Poor man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Going down.
You see this
swinging.
One about someone when they were stationed on an aircraft carrier? We'll have to clean this one up.
That does not seem like a smart way to handle it.
Someone says, from the 816, Snitchland and myself, they were stationed on an aircraft carrier. They got a favor from someone while they were on watch. We'll leave it at that. And almost as soon as he zipped up his pants, someone walked in.
Good timing.
Clutch timing.
Good timing. Uh-huh. Although you still got to explain why that
aircraft
person's
carrier.
There.
Yeah.
Feels like a risk time. Someone just simple. They just said, snitch on myself. I text this to you while I'm driving.
Be safe. Don't text and drive anybody, please. Don't do that. If you can
I voice
it,
text
please.
If I'm driving. I'll occasionally text someone back if I'm on voice text, because it's on the in-dash thing. That's about the worst idea.
Make sure you're at a stoplight, you know. You don't want to live tweet like myself.
I was worried about tweeting is off the table and see watching this? TV.
From the 816, there's a new girl at work. She's been flirty with the supervisor the last few days. Ooh. My supervisor showed me some of the stuff that she sent him yesterday, which would be grounds for termination in a normal job setting. Can you please respond back? What's your job setting? You said in a normal
restaurant.
Job.
Hold on. My personal guess, it's a restaurant.
Okay.
Immediately inappropriate back. Behavior is my
please
guess.
Respond back. I'm fast. You said in a normal job setting. What's not normal about your job?
The new person at work. This is very quick.
No, but you're the supervisor. You gotta cut that off. You know.
Oh well, yeah. If you're doing things correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can't be then. Yeah. Let us know on the text line. 913-586-7965. We have time for like maybe one more.
Yeah.
You send in one more, then we got to get to
it. Plus, I want to know where that person, you know.
Your guess is restaurant industry?
Restaurant industry.
Normal it's work setting, guess, though, is what they said.
It's just a, I don't know what it is about people who work in restaurants. That's a sexually charged environment. Everyone's always constantly sleeping with each other. It's a dangerous place to be, I think, in that scenario. And managers never follow the normal chain of command of like the hierarchy of an office where you like go to HR and make sure that, you know, because you know it is. Like in a normal HR setting, you're not supposed to be in a relationship with someone who is your supervisor. That's a dangerous game to be playing, that's all. I guess we'll have to find out. They're going to leave us hanging.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to find out in time before we go to break.
The way you made it sound is like people in the restaurant industry are just
sleeping around with everybody.
A bunch of former art school kids, which is always an active group anyway.
Dude, is this a fact? Like,
yes,
is this
a known thing? Well-known fact.
Was it something about the paint and the paintbrushes, Cody?
I'm just telling you. This is a well-established fact that goes as far back as like high school for most people. This is a well-known trend.
Hmm. Okay. Coming up next,
we're gonna
talk about the NFL draft a little bit with draft analyst from the Draft Network, Daniel Harms. We'll ask him how realistic is the Chiefs taking a guard or a tackle in the first round.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Cody and Gold, we'll get back into some of the stadium conversations, the latest from Mayor Quinn Lucas, but we want to talk some draft. We've been having some fun with the mock draft sounders, looking around how some of the industry experts are viewing potentially who the Chiefs could take at pick 31, and we go out to the hotline and welcome in one of those draft analysts from the Draft Network, Daniel Harms, kind enough to give us some time here on Cody and Gold. I wanted to start, Daniel, because we're starting to sense a little bit more of a theme, but we're trying to figure out how the mock draft world is viewing it versus maybe even how we're looking at it, which is offensive line first round. How realistic is that still, knowing the Chiefs addressed the left tackle spot with Jalen Moore, and we think Kingsley Suamataia could be the left guard?
Yeah, so when you look at Jalen Moore, I think he might be a better fit in the future at right tackle, maybe replacing Juwan Taylor. So I think left tackle still makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs, if a player were to fall into the 30s, maybe they could want to trade up into the 20 area. But I think as an overarching concept, with the 27-year-old tackle who was predominantly a backup for the 49ers coming off of, you know, the 4 or 5 starts that he had this past year, that's hoping he's going to improve, hoping he's going to be able to get better. But he still has those 4 years that he hasn't been able to start and play and develop in the league. So I think the future left tackle stuff still raises a concern, considering you don't know if he's going to be around and if he's even going to get better at left tackle. And that's the part where you're really trying to make that consideration. So I actually just got done doing a film review of Josh Simmons for RGRfootball.com, where I cover the Chiefs as well. So like he's still in play there, in my opinion. So I'm excited to see what happens.
So you think if they were to go O-line though, it would be a tackle, not a guard? Because we've seen some guards mocked, and that one just honestly doesn't make as much sense to us.
Not at all. I saw one with Tyler Booker. Not only does Tyler Booker a guard doesn't make sense, he's not a Chiefs guard. Like he's a pure power guard. Like he's not going to come in to be this athletic guy where you want to pull him and move him and things like that, where Andy Reid wants to, and that's not going to be his game. So I think tackle is probably the only offensive line option for the Chiefs in the first round.
If you think tackle's realistic, I love a varied opinion. Matt Miller had come on the show a couple weeks ago. He said of the five tackles who could go in the first round, three might end up being a guard. Or like in Mimbo's case, he's going to be a right tackle and he's going to be taken so high it doesn't matter. But like how many of the tackles that could be in that range for the Chiefs, 20 to 30, do you actually think will stay at tackle versus they're taking the same risk as they are as more? As in, they might not end up being a tackle and this hole could be for naught and they might land at guard anyway.
Yeah, I think that there's two. The aforementioned Josh Simmons, I think, is going to play tackle in the league. And then Ariante Ersu out of Minnesota. He has 3 years of starting experience. I know I'm not entirely sure why he's getting projected elsewhere. You might have some soft shoulder concerns with him, but we see that being a little bit more functional, just trying to get back to your spot a little bit better and having the requisite athleticism to make sure you can cover that B gap. And I think that he has all those things. So those are the two players that I've kind of seen not only falling down draft boards, but in the area where you have opinions on Ariante that he's a second rounder. I have a first round grade on him in terms of for this draft, I would take him anywhere in the 25 to 30 range. And Josh Simmons probably would have been a top 10 pick had he not got hurt. And now we're seeing some things come up about character concerns, off-field stuff that just kind of seem to be coming up out of draft season, draft talk like we always hear. So that's something we're obviously not privy to and the team would have to do their work. But those are the two guys that I have on my board that still make sense for the Chiefs at the tackle, that would probably be in that range.
You cover the Chiefs for RGR, so you know I'm going to ask this question. Are his arms long enough? You know that Andy Reid's really particular about that, man.
I mean, at the same time, Dylan Moore has 33-inch arms, too. Like, they just gave him $20 million guaranteed, and he's got 33-inch arms. So Josh Simmons has 33. Ariante, I believe, is about 34, 33 and a half, something like that. So he has the requisite length, and both of these guys, it's about how you use that length, right? And a lot of these players, if you have 33-inch arms and it's becoming a big problem for you, that's where you see the concern. It's, I think, a good player for the Chiefs at tackle, if they have a good grade on him, the 33-inch arms aren't going to mean as much as that you see like out of Kingsley, who's got to develop, but he has all the raw tools to be able to do it.
We're talking to Daniel Harms, analyst for the Draft Network here on Cody and Gold. All right, when the Chiefs brought back Kareem Hunt, I was a little nervous because I said, well, does this mean they're not going to draft a running back? What's your take on that, and is there an explosive back that comes to mind for you? Because we all watched this team a year ago. They got to find some more explosiveness at that position.
Absolutely. Really, if you look at this room in 2026, there's going to be nobody. There's nobody there. There's no running back they have on the roster that is currently contracted for the 2026 season. So they have to still draft one. Bring in possibly two running backs that are rookies that are younger. It really depends on how they want to, you know, build the room. Do they want one guy that can handle everything? So you have a couple of options, or they want to build a room that has, you know, someone that's more of a pass catcher, third down back, but somebody else like DJ Giddens out of Kansas State, who I believe is going to be a fantastic first and second down running back, just needs a lot of development as a pass catcher and a pass protector. So you bring in, I mean, maybe somebody like Rashad Smith. So both of these guys, the SMU running back who has done a fantastic job in the pre-draft process, showcased like, what, 19 touchdowns this year or this past year at SMU, former wide receiver. He has, I think, a lot of the tools to become a third down back. Well, obviously, he's a fantastic pass catcher, explosive, and he's got really good running back feel. Giddens, on the other hand, one of the guys I just mentioned, is far better in terms of already developing some of the zone power concepts where he has the vision, the speed, and then he has the ability in space to string moves together, make guys miss. The problem is that he doesn't have very good pass protection skills and he doesn't catch the football as well as you'd like. But if they want to build the room in a way where you have one guy that can do everything, I think Quinshon Judkins out of Ohio State makes a lot of sense for them. You've got Devin Neal, who can also do all those things out of Kansas. So there's a couple of different ways that this class can really allow them to go about it. And if they're willing to spend a first-round pick or a second-round pick on one of these running backs, you have a total package in a guy like Caleb Johnson out of Iowa, Omarion Hampton out of UNC if he falls down the draft. So there's a lot of different ways they can go about this.
I always feel like I ask people who they like. Who do you hate? Well, you're like, all right, I don't want the Chiefs to take this guy. Like, I know people like him, but please don't do it.
I don't know if there's anybody that I've watched so far that I hate, but there's a couple of names like Jaquindon Jackson out of Arkansas, who's getting a little bit of buzz right now. He's power. He doesn't have the best vision. I like Cam Scataboo. I do. I love what he does. I'm a little concerned about the athletic ability at the NFL level. I don't know if really if there's anybody that I've watched that I just like hate, but those are a couple of players that I would be a little underwhelmed if I saw the Chiefs draft them.
What about on the defensive line? We understand everyone continues to tell us it is an incredibly deep defensive line. I want to ask you a follow-up. Do you think it's deeper, like defensive tackle, at edge? Like, where can the Chiefs attack this draft if there are this many defensive linemen available?
They can do it at both, really. The defensive tackle class, I think in terms of the guys that have the well-rounded game, there's a little bit fewer, more first-round picks that you're going to see with some upside. Guys like Kenneth Grant that have the upside. He's a really good run defender. He has the length, the athleticism, but the pass rush skills are still developing. And then you get down into the day two, some of the day three guys, you start to spread out. Like, we see this all the time with the draft, where you have some pass rush specialists, and you have some guys that are really good run defenders. And then on the edge side, I think that this is so unique, where we're starting to see more players come up out of nowhere, where they're, Oluwafemi Oladeja was one of my favorite players.
Good for you for pronouncing.
It took me a lot of time, a lot of practice to be able to get there at this point. So he's one of my favorite defensive ends in this class, a former linebacker, and he played defensive end in high school. They asked him at UCLA to play linebacker, so he did that. And then this past year, two games in, they said, no, you're going to play defensive end, and you can see all the raw skills as a pass rusher. But honestly, he's got a much higher floor than I think people expected as a run defender, and what I expected. So you've got him. You've got some bigger body types, probably in the day two range, like Princely, Uman Mylan out of Ole Miss, his teammate, Jared Ivey. Like, there's so many different body types, skill sets. So this class itself, from both defensive tackle and defensive end, the Chiefs are going to find some players on day one, day two, even day three, that can really help the future of their defensive line.
We're talking to Daniel Harms from the Draft Network. Locally, we know there's a lot of Missouri Tiger fans keeping an eye on Luther Burden. There's a lot of Chiefs fans keeping an eye on Luther Burden. What's the latest with him? I mean, I feel like the stock keeps going down, and then is it an overreaction? Where do you actually believe Luther Burden is going to go, and is the fall warranted, if that's the case?
So I still think he's going to go in the first round. I believe in my last mock I had him going in the first round still. It's for me, when I watch him, it's hard to separate some of the schematic problems with the offense with the effort concerns that I had coming into the season for Luther Burden. Because there were still on tape times where he just doesn't run his route fully. He cuts it off early. He rounds his routes. They're not as sharp as you'd like to see. And then you can compound that with some of the offensive struggles they had this past year, where he's basically this glorified underneath threat with a couple of deep balls there every now and then. And it's hard to parse that through a guy who doesn't play on the outside at all, and then you want him to do everything in the NFL. So I think the fall is a little bit warranted. Again, I was a little under on him coming into the season, and there wasn't a ton of development from the wide receiver side specifically that made me think he should be higher. But what you see right now is what you're going to get, and that's an immediate impact player with the ball in his hands at the NFL level. Like, he has already the spatial awareness, the physical tools after the catch down the field, the body control, ball tracking. So he's still going to be someone that can, in my opinion, goes in the first round based on pure talent alone. There's just a lot more refining to do with his wide receiver skill set that someone's going to have to either project or get in there and say, well, what's going on? What was going on with you at Missouri? Where are some of these effort concerns coming in on tape? So that's what was hard to parse out for me specifically, is trying to identify those different things. But the skills are all there, and that's why he's still going to go in the first round.
Big picture draft stuff. Just curiosity, what your thoughts are on Russell Wilson ending up a Giant. Do you think that they're out on No Shadur? No, I mean, maybe Cam Ward's going to go one. So, like, are they out on that game?
It kind of feels like they might think that Shadur goes two to the Browns if you bring in two, you know, one-year deal contracts for quarterbacks and Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. But I don't think it's going to prevent them from drafting Shadur if he's there at three. And I don't think it should. Like, there's no reason it should. If you love him as a team, and again, he's for both of these guys, Cam Ward and Shadur Sanders, they're like 1A and 1B for me. I don't care if you have one over the other. I have Shadur as the 1A just based off of his accuracy. And I think while he gets himself into trouble at times, he does have the skills to still manage the pocket. Maybe the arm strength isn't everything you want to see. But I think he's working on his release to get better at that. So if the Giants feel like he's still the quarterback that they want to draft and he's there at three, it wouldn't shock me at all if they still draft him. It does feel like they might think the Browns are in a situation where they actually could end up drafting Shadur and they don't want to be without somebody that maybe can start for them.
That's just like a wild quarterback room. Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, and Shadur Sanders. I guess just go ahead and make them Hard Knocks now.
Please, right? Give us. I want a camera on those three at all times. That would be gold.
Oh, it would be absolutely incredible. What's the chances though of them deciding not to take a quarterback, the Giants, and all of a sudden then they go and they trade back in the first round, or they wait till the second round, and somebody like Jackson Dart is actually who they go with?
I don't know if trading back makes sense for them. They probably just draft Travis Hunter and then pair him. Again, at this high, I'm taking Travis Hunter and I'm playing him wide receiver.
Trade back into the first round. Sorry, yeah, no, not trade back in the first. Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense.
I got you. So this Jackson Dart stuff, man. and I don't hate any prospect. I want them all to prove me wrong. I'm just not a Jackson Dart fan.
Fair.
I think that if you want to draft him, you should be there in the second round. But also, if he's gone in the first round, just draft like a Will Howard on day three or a Riley Leonard. I don't think there's a ton of physical tool difference between those three quarterbacks to say, well, we want to trade up to get Jackson Dart. And when you look at what Ole Miss does from a schematic perspective, they don't ask a lot of Jackson Dart. Now, I'll say I was surprised with his physicality as a runner and his vision as a runner on tape. But when we watch him actually throw the football and go through reads, there's far too often where he's just waiting. He's waiting. And you can't wait in the NFL. The game speeds up. You can't get to your second read 5 seconds later or when the play finally breaks down and you move out of the pocket. You have to be able to go not just half read, full field read at times, but also get the ball out quickly, which we know Ole Miss does. They scheme all that stuff up as well. So I think that if the Giants traded up back into the first round for a Jackson Dart, that would be a little bit of a mistake on their part. But overall, these teams are going to do whatever they want to do. And I think that what we're seeing with, you know, Tyler Shuck and even, you know, Jackson Dart to an extent with getting these talks pre-draft are reminding me a lot of the drafts with Malik Willis, who, again, he was going to the Lions, like in the top 10 or what it was. Teams, I think, learn from that experience, and they're going to be like, okay, we'll probably evaluate these guys a little bit different, but if Dart goes in the first round, I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
Daniel Harms, analyst for the Draft Network. Great insight on the Chiefs and the draft as a whole. We're counting down to draft day there in Green Bay. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
That was Daniel Harms again. Big thanks to him for taking the time to join the show. You are listening to 96.5 The Fan, KFNZ, FM and AM, HD1 and HD2, Kansas City, and Odyssey Sports Station. So we are awaiting John Sherman. He is going to be speaking here shortly, Royals chairman and CEO, just about the Royals season. Could potentially also be talking about the stadium stuff as well. Again, tomorrow, Alex and Cody will be out at the K just outside of Gate D. If you're heading out there, be sure to stop by, say what's up, and say hello to them. While we await John Sherman again, should just be happening here momentarily. What are you looking forward the most to the Royals season, just with opening day in general? You know, the crack of the bat, it's a day game. Obviously, you know, to start things off with, it's just to be out in warm weather again and have an excuse to be outside is something that I think I'm looking forward to the most. Obviously, there's a lot of anticipation, a lot of expectation, and other things like that as well. As now, we're going to end the show now. Cody and Gold outside Gate D tomorrow.